ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. This is the holy month where we will be celebrating the beautiful festival of Krishna Janmashtami. And this is also an occasion where you cannot but think about what a joyous moment the morning of Krishna Janmashtami used to be when Bhagwan was physically there. Even after Bhagwan left his physical form, every year in Sai Kulwant Hall on Krishna Janmashtami day, it was a joyous celebration of the love of Krishna towards the Gopas and the Gopalas and all the students dressing themselves up as Gopalas and the boys coming along with the cows to the Sai Kulwant Hall. And I remember the occasions where Bhagwan would personally go and feed these cows. And in fact, there were so many occasions when Bhagwan would feed a deer. There would be so many cute, beautiful, innocent members of the Lord's creation who would be in Sai Kulwant Hall. Swami would feed these animals. There would be birds, little rabbits. So it was like the whole creation was celebrating for gifting the world Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, who through his flute mesmerized the plants and the trees and the deer and the cows to the peacocks. And how can you not think about Sai Gita too on these occasions when Bhagwan would so gladly go to Sai Gita and Sai Gita would be in tears as Bhagwan would pat her cheeks and Swami would, she would almost want to hug Bhagwan. She would want to hide Bhagwan between her legs and the trunk. And I remember on one occasion how when Bhagwan was coming in the on the chair and Sai Gita went in the front and Swami wanted to feed Sai Gita and Swami gave an apple to her to take it in her trunk, but she refused. And I was sitting there along the sidelines on the portico and I was wondering, how could Sai Gita do this? Swami is giving a fruit, he is himself giving, and Sai Gita is not accepting. Why is she doing this? Is this not disrespecting Swami? And Sai Gita loves Swami. How can she not take something that Swami himself is giving? Only for me to realize after a few moments that what is the power of her love? Bhagwan in those days was using the chair and Sai Gita, who always wanted to be fed into his mouth. There were only two people who could actually feed Sai Gita by putting the fruits into her mouth. And she accepted that only from Bhagwan and her mahout, Pedaredi, who took care of her for nearly 40 years. So She wanted that Swami should feed her by putting the fruit into her mouth. And Swami did do that. Swami got up from the chair and Swami put the fruit into her mouth. And only then Sai Geeta accepted that offering from Bhagwan. There are so many such scenes that come to mind when I think about Krishna Janmashtami. And the beautiful anecdotes from Bhagavatam that Swami would narrate in his discourses. The beautiful tales of Gopas and Gopikas that Swami would so enthusiastically recount for us on every Krishna Janmashtami day. And when I think about this festival, when I think about the flute of Krishna, when I think about how Bhagwan would always tell us that if you want to love me like the Gopikas and the Gopalas did. Anytime he spoke about love, about the supreme facet of love, about the pinnacle of love, it was always with the reference of Gopikas and Gopalas. And in the previous session I told you, as I was recounting to you the stories of Lord Jagannath, the mysterious form of Lord Jagannath, who is the incarnation of Lord Krishna, how the form of Lord Jagannath is so very different, how he has those big eyes as if stunned, how he has no limbs, his hands are just two parallel logs of wood and he has no feet, and how this is actually the Bhava Prakasha Murti of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath is stunned at the love of the gopis. I told you how when Mother Rukmini was narrating about the leelas of Krishna and gopas and gopikas, on the request of the concerts of Lord Krishna, on the request of Rukmini and Satyabhama, Mother Rohini was narrating, the mother of Balarama, she was narrating all these tales about Vrindavan and how when Lord Jagannath and Balabhadra heard these narrations, how they were so lost in the beautiful pastimes that they had with the Gopikas and Gopalas, and how that moment of the Lord where he is completely withdrawn, his senses are withdrawn, so to speak, because he is just lost in the love, the pure love of the Gopikas and the Gopalas. That is what the figures of Lord Jagannath, Balabhadra and Subhadra convey. And it was the prayer of Narada that everyone should be blessed with such a darshan of the Lord, and that is how Lord Krishna reincarnated as Jagannath, Balabhadra and Subhadra. That is one of the legends of the manifestation of the Lord. There are so many such stories. As you know, when it comes to the stories of the Lord, when it comes to the manifestations of the Lord, there are always several dimensions to it. It was in response to the prayers of King Indradumna. That is one story. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that I come down for the destruction of the wicked, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam, and the protection of the good. But as someone said, the Lord can do this from wherever he is. He doesn't necessarily have to take a form to destroy the wicked. In fact, there was one occasion wherein when Bhagwan was giving this Bhagavad Gita discourses in the bhajan hall in Prashanti Nilayam, there would be discussion about these beautiful aspects and philosophies that Bhagavan was talking about, the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And during one of those days, a teacher in the college was sharing a particular thought with his colleague. He was saying that, well, the Lord says that he comes down again and again to restore righteousness. But if you see over the ages, the righteousness has only declined. There was Satyayuga, and the Lord had so many manifestations. Then came Dwapara Yuga. The Lord took the form of Krishna. Before Dwapara Yuga, it was Treta Yuga, when the Lord came down as Rama. And if you see from the time of Rama to Krishna, there was decline in righteousness. But you are saying the Lord incarnates for the protection of Dharma. But on the other hand, what we see is the opposite. There was more righteousness in the times of Rama than in the times of Krishna. So the Lord coming down as Rama to protect righteousness has not worked. And if you take Dwapara Yuga and then Kali Yuga, the Lord came down as Krishna. And the whole point of Lord coming as Krishna was again to restore righteousness. But the Lord came and went, and righteousness only declined further. So, how can we say that the Lord comes age after age to bring back Dharma, but what we see is the contrary? And this was the discussion that happened in the college campus. And that evening, when Bhagavan started giving a discourse, and as I said, he was giving a series of discourses on Bhagavad Gita. In the course of the discourse, Swami suddenly changed track, and Swami said, there are some people who question that what is the point of the Lord coming down age after age if there is no increase in the propagation of righteousness. What is the dharma that the Lord comes to resurrect? And Bhagavan said, the Lord comes down only for the restoration of prema dharma. The Lord comes down only for enabling people to love Him. The Lord can destroy anyone, the Lord can protect anyone from wherever He is. But to give a relatable form to the people, but for Krishna, you would not have so many saints and you would not have so many ways of connecting with the Lord. And but for Rama, you would not have so many, you won't have the Ramayana, you will not have so many sacred texts glorifying the Lord in different ways. But for Krishna, you would not have Mirabai, you would not have all these tradition of worships, you would not have so many pious souls who spend their lives elevating their lives, singing the glories of the Lord in different ways. If we have Namadev, if we have Jnanadev, if we have all these legions of saints, it is because they are glorifying the Lord and they are connecting with that form of the Lord. We would not have Tulasidas and Ramcharitmanas without Ram. The Lord comes down because He wants to give a medium for people to connect to Him. And it's the same with the Satya Sai Avatar, isn't it? It's because Bhagavan came in that physical form and you are so mesmerized by that form that you wanted to see Him more and more. You wanted to do what He would like to see. You wanted to do everything that would make Him happy, and you wanted to drop everything and rush to His presence. And that's how you have so many generations of people who have dedicated everything for His mission, for they have sanctified their lives. They have learned to love Him. And this exponential growth in love for the divine happens when the avatar takes a human form. And that is the whole purpose. This is the prema dharma. I would not be sitting here and doing what I'm doing now, but for the avatar. So many youngsters, so many people would not have been so busy dedicating so much of their time in sacred activities if the avatar had not come. And that is the whole purpose of the avatar, to increase the love quotient in the hearts of people. And every time the avatar has come, that has happened. Every time the avatar has come, people have learned to love him more. People have learned to just forget themselves and make God as their priority. People have learned that there is nothing greater than having God as your friend. All of these get so beautifully conveyed, and all of these so beautifully gets instilled once the Lord comes in the human form. The most beautiful aspect of Jagannath worship is that even though Lord Jagannath did not come in a human form like Lord Rama did or Lord Krishna did or the Sri Satya Sai avatar is, but there are so many such leelas of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath, who installed himself in the Kali Age. And in the very first episode, when I was talking to you about Lord Jagannath, many weeks ago, I shared with you how devotees from Odisha brought idols of Lord Jagannath, Balabhadra and Subhadra, to Prashanti Nilayam, and how Swami said, these are only idols. Jagannath is here. And he pointed to himself. And if you look at the beautiful leelas of Lord Jagannath, even now, we think that have happened in the current times in the last 100, 200, 300 years. There was once a priest who loved the beautiful hair of Krishna, loved the curls of Krishna. And as this priest was decorating Lord Jagannath, and he felt how nice it would be if Lord Jagannath also has hair like the beautiful hair that we read about Krishna, the beautiful locks of Krishna. And as you see Bhagwan, you cannot but think of Bhagwan without his crown of hair. So there was this priest who was thinking about the Lord in that fashion. And to his utter amazement, hair manifested on the statue. And he started decorating the Lord with that hair that manifested. And he was stunned with the way Lord responded to his prayer, and he was overjoyed with the way Lord wanted to fulfill that slightest desire that erupted from his heart out of the purity of his devotion. But after he completed the decoration of the Lord, that vanished, that was not there for everyone. It was only for those few moments for him to feel that this is that same Krishna with that beautiful locks of hair. But something interesting happened the next day. The tradition in Jagannath Puri is that after the garland is offered to the Lord, it is sent to the king, the main garland. And when that garland was sent to the king to his surprise found a strand of hair on the garland, and that made the king very upset. He felt, how could a strand of hair be on this garland which was offered to Lord Jagannath, which means the garland was offered to someone else? Did some lady wear it? Lord Jagannath does not have hair. How could this garland have a hair? How could someone defile the garland, the sacred garland offered to Lord Jagannath? And the king asked for an inquiry, and the head priest and everyone was called, and the head priest narrated how he had had that vision. But the king felt that all of this was probably just made up. How could someone have a vision, and how could someone actually, did he really see the hair manifest there? There is something else that has happened, and this priest is just cooking up stories. And the king said, I'm giving you 24 hours time. Prove your point. I'm not convinced with your explanation. And if you cannot prove yourself, then you will have to face the consequences, and the king can do anything. He can put him in prison, he can behead him. And this priest did not know what to do. The next morning, when the shrine was opened, to everyone's utter amazement, there was hair on Lord Jagannath's idol. And the king thought, oh, maybe someone has just put it. People do all sorts of things. How could someone do this? And the king went to pull the hair which was there on the idol, and blood came out of it. And that is when the king realized his mistake and sought forgiveness from the priest. And this happened sometime in the 1800s. So there are so many such stories concerning the Leelas of Lord Jagannath. There was another priest who once committed an act of stealing something from the Ratna Bhandar. The Ratna Bhandar is supposed to be the Lord's treasure house, where all the jewels of the Lord are stored. And it's a huge, huge, huge place where there are plenty of ornaments and jewels and precious things which are used by the Lord. And a priest once thought that if I just take something little from here, no one will know. But they say that that night he was bitten by a serpent, and he was found dead the next day. And the priest's wife said, there was a serpent, but no one could find the serpent. There was no trace of serpent bite. It was something very, very mysterious. And that's why they say, no one dare touch the Ratna Bhandar, the treasure chest of Lord Jagannath. They say Lord Shiva guards it, and the Naga Devatas protect it. The king of the serpents protect it. So there are so many such sacred tales of Lord Jagannath which happen even now. 200-300 years ago, apparently, someone saw, one of the priests in the night saw a huge figure following him, and it was like very, very unusual figure in the middle of the night, this huge figure. And the priest was stunned, and he said, who are you? What are you? And he said, I am Vibhishana. I am the brother of Ravana, who had the opportunity to serve Rama. And Vibhishana wanted to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. And they say that when the priest said, how do I know that you are Vibhishana, and what's the proof that I've really met you? And Vibhishana apparently gave a bracelet, and it's a huge bracelet, and apparently it is still there today, this bracelet of Vibhishana, which is there in this house of this priest, and that has become object of worship. It's a huge bracelet. It's like, it's almost like the wheel of a bullock cart. I mean, that's how huge that bracelet is. There are so many such leelas of Lord Jagannath. Apparently, every day something beautiful happens, and it is recorded. It is recorded on palm leaves even now, and it is stored in a very, very secret manner. The reason is, when the Britishers were ruling India, there were a lot of attempts to defile the documents concerning Lord Jagannath, to manipulate the stories concerning the sacredness of Lord Jagannath, because the glory of Lord Jagannath, the crowd that Rathayatra would attract, always puzzled and disturbed the Britishers. They couldn't understand why so many people love Jagannath, and what is this mystery. And And this was one occasion when everyone would come together, they would forget all their differences. And so, even today, everything about the temple, every mysterious happening about the temple is recorded. And every day when the prasadam is made, they say, to ensure that the prasadam is pure, the king sees the reflection of Lord Jagannath on his palm, on a fist of water. He takes a little water, and when he cups his hand, he sees the reflection of Lord Jagannath, and that's when you know that the food is sacred. Apparently, when King Indradumna, the king who was blessed to be the instrument for the installation of these idols, he had prayed to the Lord that he should not be having any sons in his progeny, because he felt that this temple that I have built, nobody in my generation, nobody, my sons or grandsons, should not say that it is their temple. This belongs to the Lord. So I don't want anyone to think that it is theirs. And that's why he did not want a son in his lineage. And he prayed to the Lord that the Lord should always eat everything that is offered. And it's the reason, that is the reason why prasadam continuously is being offered to Lord Jagannath. And anybody who goes to Puri has the opportunity to partake in that prasad of Lord Jagannath. In fact, it is so considered so auspicious, so redeeming, that once when Narada went to Shiva, and the Narada was in ecstasy because Narada had the prasadam of Lord Jagannath, and they say that Shiva said, "Oh, you didn't even think of me, you didn't get even a little prasadam for me, you enjoyed everything, you know, you think of the Lord all the time, and I also think of the Lord all the time. There are so many things we do share, but when you have a problem, you come to me, but when you are happy and you are enjoying, you didn't bring that prasadam to me." And so Narada said, "I'm so sorry, Shiva said, you don't have anything, nothing, no remnant of the prasadam for me." And that's why Narada says, "Okay, let me just check." And he just checks his hand, and there was one grain of rice, something sticking to his hand. And Shiva said, "Give that to me." And Shiva then partook that prasadam, and Shiva was in ecstasy. Shiva was dancing. He was like, "Wow, I've got Jagannath prasad." And then Parvati comes there, and she says, "What is this? Why are you so excited?" And Shiva says, "You know what? I've got prasadam of Lord Jagannath, and I can't tell you how happy I am." And Parvati says, this is cruel. You've got prasadam of Lord Jagannath and you don't even think of sharing that with me. I'm your better half. How can you be so mean?" And Parvati gets angry. And that is when Narayana, Lord Jagannath, says to Parvati that, you know, Narada organizes it, that you will get a plate full, and you will not just get a grain, but you will get the entire plate blessed by Lord Jagannath. And Parvati says that, you know, "I am the mother of creation. You have to give that prasadam, not to me. You have to give that prasadam to everyone. Everyone must have it." And they say it is for this reason that once this prasadam is cooked, it is always first offered to the mother, to Vimala Devi, whose shrine is there next to Jagannath's shrine. And the prasadam is first offered to her, and then it is offered to everyone. Because as the mother, she wants everyone to be fed. So that's what Lord King Indradumna praises and asks Lord Jagannath, that you should continuously keep eating, you should continuously accept these offerings being offered. And also King Indradumna prays that, "Oh Lord, you should never deprive sacred darshan of your form to anyone, any time of the day." And that is the reason why Lord Jagannath does not sleep. Lord Jagannath's shrine is all the time open except for 2 hours in the night. And that's also not because the Lord is allowed to sleep, because the Lord at that time, they say, is with the gods, the other beings from the other worlds, they want to have the darshan of the Lord during that time. Apparently, sometimes when prasadam is offered to the Lord during that time, when they open the door later, this prasadam vanishes. So there are so many such stories about the mysterious leelas that continues to happen in the Lord Jagannath temple at Puri. And no wonder it is one of those sacred shrines that every person who believes in the Sanatana Dharma wishes to go and visit. And that's how you have Shankaracharya, Madhavacharya, Ramanujacharya, everyone visiting this shrine, and you have mutts of all these different philosophies. There is no one philosophy of Lord Jagannath, they say. Apparently on one occasion, Saint Ramanujacharya, when he was there, who's the advocate of Visishta Advaita, the qualified non-dualism philosophy, he felt that the practices and traditions that are followed in the Jagannath temple needs to be changed, and he went and convinced the king that, you know, I feel this is what should be done. And the king apparently agreed, and he said, from tomorrow all these priests will no more be doing the puja. Ramanujacharya and his band of priests, they will take over the management of the temple and the worship and the rituals and the traditions. And all the priests did not know what to do, because it was king's orders, and they cried to the Lord. They said the whole night they were praying to the Lord, how can you do this to us, O Krishna? Oh, they call the Lord as Kaliya, you know, because the Lord is of deep black skin in Puri. And they say, what is this, Lord? Your heart has become black. What is this? How can you not give us this chance? We have been serving you for so many years, and somebody else comes and you don't want us. Just like once upon a time you took the love of Gopikas, and then you had some other work and you left them, you left Mother Yashoda. You are very cruel, you know. Every time you do things to your convenience and you leave people heartbroken, and that's what you are. All that, they started crying to the Lord, and they said the whole night they prayed to the Lord. But the king had decided that Ramanujacharya and his band of disciples would start taking over the management and the worship of the temple, and everything was arranged. And in the morning, Ramanujacharya along with his band of priests and acharyas were supposed to come and take over the management of the temple. The king was there, and everyone was there except Ramanujacharya, and they were waiting for him. Time passed and hours passed, and he was nowhere to be seen. People went in search of him, but they still could not find him. What had happened was that night when Ramanujacharya slept, the Lord mysteriously transported him from Puri to some other location. Apparently, when he woke up in the morning, he was in Srikakulam, another sacred shrine in Andhra Pradesh. The Lord just physically transported him to another place because he wanted those priests to continue the worship that they were doing it with so much heart. And they say that there is no particular tradition. The traditions keep changing because the Lord keeps changing his rules in response to the intense prayers of the devotees. That's why there is no one tradition. There is no one tradition because it is a confluence of all the traditions. That is how it is in Lord Jagannath Puri, and that's how you would find in Puttaparthi also, isn't it? Everyone is welcome. And as I mentioned before, just like the Lord goes out in Rathyatra to give his darshan to everyone, Bhagwan would every day come out and give darshan. So that is how Ramanujacharya could not establish his line of thinking in Puri. And that is how in Puri you find these priests who have dedicated their lives for generations, have this opportunity to serve the Lord, you know. In fact, there are so many people whose lives and sustenance, this whole temple town is built with their connection with the temple. If one day prasadam does not get cooked there, hundreds and thousands will go hungry there because they all depend on the temple. And the way the Lord takes care of them, there could be one family whose only work would be just to make the ropes for chariot, and for the chariot, which is pulled once a year, and it will be not just one family, there will be 60 such families who will be making ropes for the chariot. There would be another 60 such families who would be doing vegetable cutting for the Lord's Prasadam. There would be another 100 families who would be engaged in flower decoration of the Lord. So there are like this hundreds and hundreds of families who for generations have been serving the Lord, and all of them get food from the temple. The Lord serves all of them freely. The Lord takes care of them. You do little for the Lord. Once a year you do little for the Lord, but the Lord says, I am there, I will take care of you. You will never go hungry, you will never go shelterless. I am always there. And that is the glory of Puri. And if you see, that is how it is with sacred places like Tirupati, like Puttaparthi. There are a lot of, these are temple towns, these are sacred spaces on earth which the Lord manifested for the emancipation of mankind. They say that once Lord Brahma finished the creation, and the Lord was telling to Vishnu that, you know, what is the point? You've asked me to do all this creation, but the creation is filled with so much pain. Creation has so much of ups and downs. Every person who is born has to go through so many ordeals. Every person who is born has to go through birth and death and old age and disease, and there are sufferings of many kinds. Adi Devika, Adi Bhautika, Adhyatmika. Adi Devika sufferings are sufferings because of natural causes, just like what is happening now. No one has any control on COVID. No one knows when it will end. No one knows how it will end. No one knows if there will be a third wave, fourth wave, sixth wave. No one knows how the virus is mutating. What will be the end of this pandemic? So that is Adi Daivika. There is Adi Bhautika, because all these material problems that we have, as you go through life, you have enough challenges in the family, in the social circle, everything that we go through in our ups and downs in our life, all these challenges, these are all Adi Bhautika. Just because we are in the world, in this material world, we have to go through these rigmarole of so many moments of deep pain, deep anguish. As Swami used to always say, pleasure is an interval between two pains. So actually our life is more pain. It is not like pain is an interval between two pleasures. Swami used to always say, pleasure is an interval between two pains. Basically your life is a series of pains. Once in a while there is little pleasure. That is what life is. And Brahma says, Lord, you have created a life, a world where people are only suffering. There are so many reasons to suffer, so many kinds of suffering. Even the king is suffering, even the pauper is suffering, the intellectual is suffering, even the fool is suffering. There is nobody who is not suffering. You have a lot of wealth who is suffering. People who have nothing, they are also suffering. People who have a lot of relationships are suffering. People who have no relationship also are suffering. Everybody is suffering. And there are people on the spiritual path, even they are suffering, because they feel they are not able to grow spiritually the way they want. They are not able to get the kind of spiritual satisfaction that they seek. That is not happening. Everybody is suffering. Why did you create the world with a lot of suffering? I don't know what is the whole point. And they say, this is a legend, the Lord said, yeah, I know I have created a world with all this suffering, but I have given them opportunities. I have created spaces where once they reach there, they can forget all of these. I have created spaces which are like heaven on earth. I have created spaces which are like oases on the desert. I have created spaces where they can actually, with little effort, get peace. And that is how you have these sacred spots like Puri, like Tirupati, like Puttaparthi. Haven't we experienced that? You come to Puttaparthi and you just forget everything. You enter into the ashram and you just feel as if that entire luggage that the mind was carrying just got dropped off. Haven't we experienced how, for some mysterious reason, you enter these sacred spaces and you feel you are not in that same world. That is the glory of all these sacred spots on earth. And that's the reason why they say whenever you visit these sacred spots, you should spend some time. You should not just go like a tourist. Let the vibrations of the place get into you. You should absorb the sacredness of what the place has to offer. During the early years, there'll be so many people who would be possessed with other beings or ghosts, and Swami would, in the 40s and 50s, relieve people of these mysterious diseases and mysterious hallucinations and these mysterious conditions that they were going through. People would be mad as if they're possessed by someone, and Swami would remove them of their evil spirits and everything. But all these instances later on stopped him, and someone asked Swami, how in the early years we used to hear of so many such cases and you used to cure them, but now we don't hear. Swami said that is because the power of Puttaparthi has grown. Now people, once they come into the space, the evil effects of these evil forces get nullified, and that's what Puri is all about. Puri and Puttaparthi and Tirupati and all these places are all about. Once you enter those spaces, as it is said, Yama loses its power, because there the power of Shiva takes over, power of Shiva Shakti takes over, and that is the reason why once you enter these spaces, they say, if you leave your body in these spaces, you are liberated. If you just stay in these places, your moments are sanctified. And that is the reason when Prashant Nilayam was inaugurated, Swami also said the same thing. Swami said, anyone who stays in Puttaparthi and does any sacred sadhana, japa, sadhana, seva, anything with a pure mind, they will be blessed with that purity. They will be blessed with that permanent peace. They will be blessed with the mind of a newborn, with that innocence and that absolute sacredness, a sacredness which will make you merge with the supra consciousness. That is what Puttaparthi and Puri and all these sacred spaces are all about. They say that once you enter the mandir in Puri, it is absolute silence. You step out of the temple and you will hear the noise of the crowd, you will hear the noise of the waves of the ocean, you will hear all these various kinds of noises coming from all directions, and especially since the sea is not very far, this huge sound of the breeze. But once you step into the temple, everything stops. It's just a sudden transformation. It happens, and no one knows how it happens, why it happens. Of course, there is the legend that the priests, the gods complain to the Lord that we are not able to concentrate because there is so much noise from the ocean, there is so much wind and breeze and everything. And that's when the Lord goes to Hanuman and says, Hanuman, what do we do? Let's find a solution. Can you do something? And Hanuman says, yes, yes, I can take care of that, Lord. And they say there is a temple in Puri called Kanfata Hanuman, which means the Hanuman with that huge ears. And that Hanuman apparently said, I will absorb all the sound and I will absorb all that noise. So the moment people come to you, they don't have to be affected with anything. They can go into your presence in peace and be filled with peace. That is how all the devotees of the Lord want to serve all those people who come to these sacred spots where the Lord has installed himself, and the Lord is there ever ready to grant his benediction. That is the story of how Kanfata Hanuman takes care of the devotees who come to have the darshan of his Rama, Balarama, as Lord Jagannath, Balabhadra and Subhadra. And even you think about Parthi, that is how it is. Around the Yajur Mandir, there are 8 deities belonging to different directions. Swami once said, you know why I have kept lotuses on the top of all the institutions. In fact, in our class interview, many, many years ago, when I was in school, when Swami said, anybody has any questions? And I asked Swami, why do we have lotuses everywhere on top of our hostel, on top of the college? And Swami said, that is because lotus attracts the good and keeps away the bad, keeps away the evil. There are so many ways the Lord has protected and suffused Puttaparthi with his vibrations, with his sacredness. And that's the reason why I always say that it is the most love-charged place on the planet. And these places like Puri, like Puttaparthi, are such sacred spots which are not of this world but are in this world, like the lotus. A lotus is born from the water, out of the slush, but untouched by the slush. That is the lotus effect, they say. They don't know how, if you pour a drop of water on the lotus, it never sticks but just rolls down. And it's the same, isn't it? It is the Puttaparthi effect, the Puri effect. You come into this space and you put a problem into your head and it just drops down. Because you are in a space that is not of this world. World is full of suffering, but these places are here to lift us out of those sufferings. If only, like the lotus, we keep our focus on the sun, we keep our focus on the Lord. So the legends that are associated with Puri, the legends that are associated with Puttaparthi are so many, and all of them are so significant, and all of them are connected in some way or the other to the prayers of the devotees. They are connected to a devotee connecting to the Lord in one particular way, and the Lord is so moved. Just like when Rath Yatra happens, the Lord stops near the house of Salabego. I have told you the story where Lord wants to give darshan, because the Lord once waited in the chariot and the chariot did not move until Bhakta Salabego came for the darshan of the Lord. And since that day, whenever the Lord's chariot goes out, it always stops in front of the house of Salabego. That is a tradition. How did this tradition happen? There was no rule. All the rules can be changed with the intense love of the Lord. The only rule that works is, how deep is your love? For your love, the Lord will change anything. The Lord can completely change himself, how he looks, how he comes out, how he blesses, what he eats. Everything can be changed. But as I mentioned before, it is all because of the Prema Dharma. The Lord comes down only because of Prema Dharma. And that is what has happened to all of us. You see in Prashanti, people come from different parts of the world. I remember seeing so many foreigners. They would probably not be used to wearing a sari, but you would find them wearing a sari. Why? Because out of the love for the Lord. You will find people who would have never caught a broom in their life, but they would be here sweeping. He would be the wife of an IAS officer, but he would be sweeping in the Sai Kulwant Hall. Why? Because you love the Lord. You could be the managing director of a company, but you don't mind sitting there as a sevadal guarding a gate. Why? Because you love the Lord. And that is what the Lord comes to establish. And there are so many such beautiful, life-changing stories concerning the Leelas of Lord Jagannath, which are happening even now. Just like the Leelas of Satya Sai continue. As I said, in response to the boon of King Indradumna, the Lord said, I will always be there to watch every devotee. And that's the reason why they say the Lord Jagannath does not even have eyelids. A devotee can blink, but the Lord does not blink. The Lord wants to bless everyone. And the Lord's eyes are huge. It is not lotus eyes. It is like sun and moon. It is that huge. They sustain the world and they watch over everyone. And the Lord does not miss anyone. And the Lord has no legs, because once He comes into your life, He is never going to go. Even if you don't want Him, He will be there and He will look after you. That is the mercy of the Lord. And His hands are there to embrace everyone. And that's the reason why it is just two parallel lines, because He is there to embrace anyone who comes to Him. All you need to do is just have that love for Him. That's all. And traditions can change. The Lord Himself will adopt new ways of pleasing you if that is what makes you happy. And there are many such stories of devotees. I've shared with you the story of Dasya Bauri, where the Lord just accepted whatever He gave. He can stand anywhere and just offer a fruit to the Lord, and the fruit will just go directly to the shrine. That is the resurrection of Prema Dharma that happens whenever the Lord comes down in a human form. And in this month, as we celebrate the so-called birthday of that form of the Lord, who is most endearing, the most charming, delectable form of Lord Krishna, let us fill our lives with that love. Let us fill our lives with that kind of intensity where the Lord in His heart hears the palpitation of our prayers, of our love. If we can raise our intensity, in no time we will experience His proximity and be blessed with that opportunity to be an instrument, just like that flute. All that the flute did is, it said, I offer everything. And the Lord, what did the Lord do? The Lord bored holes into that bamboo. Lord, the flute said it's okay. Not one, two, three, four, five. It was painful when the holes were being bored into that bamboo. But the flute said, it's okay. I have given myself to you. Whatever you think is good is perfect with me. Only later the flute realized how it is because of those holes that the flute became an eternal companion with the Lord. The Lord always carried it. Whenever the Lord wanted to relax, it relaxed. He relaxed with the flute. So that's what happens in our lives too. Once we give it to Him, anything can happen to us. There could be situations which are painful, but we know that in the end, we are going to be mediums for His glory. We are going to be a chapter in His story, and there is nothing else that matters, nothing else that is worth pursuing. There is no other greater romance, there is no other greater adventure, there is no other greater pursuit for any of us. So we'll continue with more stories of Lord Jagannath in the coming episode as we move closer and closer to Krishna Janmashtami. Whatever I have shared is something that just came on the spur of the moment. And it is really His grace I did not share what I had planned to speak. Whatever came was whatever he wanted, and I hope something was of use to you. As always, if you have any comments and queries, you can write to listener@ssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258, offering this little endeavor in all humility at his lotus feet. I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sayonara.